Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 18th of October, recording at 9:45 p.m., and it's still British summertime for a little while longer. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets, mostly quite firm following Wall Street's additional gains yesterday. Good gains by China, also Japan, which is up 2% on the Nikkei. European stock markets were much more, were mixed, actually. Very small percentage moves in here today after some pretty good gains earlier in the week. And in the Americas, Wall Street had started with some modest gains, but then lost those. And there was a pre-released, another prematurely released earnings report on Google, which disappointed, and then knocked the share down nearly 8%, or closed down nearly 8%. So that pulled the NASDAQ back over 1%, but we had less than a 0.25% decline on the S&P. Brazil down about 0.5% today. Long-dated government bond prices. Despite Wall Street weakening, the Treasuries reversed some modest earlier gains to close with modest losses, those are the futures. U.S. dollar index, which had been pretty weak recently, steadied. That's back up to 79.37. The euro slipped down to 130.67. Sterling slipped sent to 160.48, and the Aussie fell down to 103.64. That's a very slight decline for the Aussie. And precious metals, they had a bad day in here today. They weren't too bad near the opening, but we're down nearly 10 for palladium. We're down 41 cents for silver. Gold is nearly $9 lower at 1741 and change. And platinum also closed lower. It's currently down 26, nearly $29 at 1643. Now, industrial metals were mixed. Grains and beans rallied quite sharply. Crude oil, the WTI, is barely changed at 92.09. The Brent was a little easier at 112.44, and I think that's pretty much it on the highlights. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, we've got this very steady ASEAN sector. We've got China extending its gains, and it's within, well, another day like today, and it would, the China A shares would break their last rally high, or at least test it, and that hasn't happened in quite a while. So that would be good, and I think it's going to happen. Maybe not tomorrow, but I think in the not too distant future, because we have had those good upward dynamics overall. So Asia looks interesting, and my feeling is that Asia's quite likely to take up the running. Now, its closest rival at the moment is not Wall Street. Wall Street has had a magnificent performance, really, this year. But it's Europe, which is showing very steady action. The banks index, European banks index, and the SX5E, that's the year stocks 50, they are very close, right up by their highs for their highs that were reached a month or so ago, and they have been relative strength leaders since late July. And given the change in attitude from it's only a matter of months before Greece either bails out or is ejected from the euro and the whole region might collapse and crisis, crisis, crisis. Well, we're not hearing that much anymore because the various measures to get some sort of closer fiscal alliance are falling into place slowly. It's still a bit like herding cats, but Super Mario Draghi, with some good help from the IMF, at least for, it will is having some real success here in addressing, or at least in getting Europeans to cooperate and move forward in this crisis. I mean, obviously the growth is going to remain elusive for quite some time, but the point is, the main point for investors everywhere is that Europe is not the terrifying event that it had been for the 2 previous years, more often than not. Now, Wall Street. Why did I say that Wall Street's unlikely to be the relative strength leader in here in the short term? Well, one reason, it's had a very good run. Two, we've got the uncertainty of the election and also the fiscal cliff. And also, the big talisman, the lead Wunderkind share, Apple, has lost upside momentum, and it had also broken that sort of little bit of lateral support near the 650 level. And its subsequent rallies have backed away from that level. Now, put it in perspective here, it still looks like a mean reversion move here, and it's still, I mean, I think the MA is probably down around the 580, 585 area. I'd have to check that, but that's my recollection right now. But this Google development here, another sort of talisman share. Google had been up for 12 weeks consecutively. 12 weeks consecutively. Had a little dip last week and got hammered in here today on those disappointing earnings results. Again, this looks like mean reversion, and it's still comfortably above its MA overall. Now, my feeling overall would be to the pullbacks to the MAs by those two shares really are buying opportunities overall. And but again, my point is that tech is not quite so all powerful in market terms as it had been. And these things do get overextended, don't they? We saw a number of the autonomies that were doing so well, largely in or mainly in Asia. And they've lost a bit of form during that Asian slowdown. This is the way markets work. So what's going to pick up the slack? Well, I think some of the cyclicals, mining shares, and that wouldn't surprise me at all. And have a look at those shares that Owen was reviewing yesterday. I mean, there are really some beauties in there among those high yielders. Okay, what about these long-dated government bonds? And I've written and posted some charts on these, looking at the yields. And I think you may be interested in that section because if you're not already following it, because we're seeing these higher reaction lows. There's a high degree of commonality if we take the Bunds and German Bunds, and if we take the US 10-year treasuries and the UK gilts. And it all looks to me, as I've said in these audios repeatedly, as if this is a gradual bottoming out and base building process for the yields. In other words, a topping process for the bond prices. Now, these can be this lengthy, because we still have the QE, which is buying bonds, of course, And we still have concerns over weak global GDP growth, and we don't know when that's going to change. It'll change when we start hearing some evidence that some of the world's engines recently and in past could be the U.S. or China. So once you start hearing evidence that the economic activity is picking up, and I'm not just talking about one little data point that looks a little better than before. But I think we'll certainly see that over the next several months. And as we get that improvement generally in global GDP growth, or when we get that improvement, and I would target some point next year, and you could see some evidence of it before year end. Then I think that will put more upward pressure on those bond yields. And I'm thinking particularly of the safe haven, so-called bonds, those three that I just mentioned. In the good news camp, in bonds, among bonds, is Mario Draghi's success in getting those yields down and punishing some investment banks and hedge funds in the process, because they were loving to short those things, and pushing those yields down to much less onerous levels overall. So that's interesting. And what about precious metals? Well, they've lost upward momentum at levels where they had previously lost upward momentum during the first half distribution phase of their overall corrective process. Just going to take a little sip of water. And so, saying the precious metals have lost upward momentum up near those psychological resistance levels, a little over 35 for silver, 1700 for platinum, 1800 for gold, 700 for palladium, and they have pulled back. Now, anybody who looks at the chart and approaches this as a neutral, in other words, they're neither gold bugs nor anti-gold, could certainly be forgiven for thinking, well, these will pull back a little bit further, and they well might. But my feeling overall is that we are in the accumulation phase now, and that this is going to be a much smaller pullback and consolidation, and followed well before year end by another move to the upside. But we don't have proof of that. That's conjecture on my part, but that's my job to do a certain amount of that. And I think I've described the overall picture there, I hope, relatively factually and unemotionally. But what would we need to see to provide clear evidence that precious metals have completed reaction lows in here? Well, good upward dynamics would do it. And short of that, a rally that looks convincing, that's got some vigor and pushes right back up into the middle of those ranging patterns that had formed just up near those psychological and lateral resistance levels that I mentioned a few moments ago. And looking elsewhere around the globe and around the markets more specifically, what to comment here? These grains and beans, corn is about the firmest of these overall, but the action's very choppy here. I think supplies are scarce generally. It's just are people willing to pay the price up here at these levels? And it's too soon to be expecting, well, to be able to put numbers on the South American crops here. So it's a little bit of a tense period overall for these foods, and they are at levels which are causing food price inflation overall. Oil, well, it's a little bit to the high side. A soft dollar hasn't helped. It's not punishingly high overall. And we have had some, of course, ongoing tensions in the Middle East, and that hasn't helped at all. But overall, net it all out, we're in a bull market on equities, a cyclical bull market, and we're in a corrective phase still on Wall Street and with the Europeans. Best bet is that Asia leads the next push to the upside, but don't be surprised if Wall Street ranges in here for a little while longer first. And on that note, all the best to all of you.